Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to 670 The Score. I'm Julie DeCaro. I'll be here until midnight tonight. Going to talk a lot of baseball tonight. Baseball writer Jesse Spector is going to join me at 10:20. And then at 11:20, Brett Taylor of Bleacher Nation will be here to talk Cubs baseball. Of course, we'll also be talking White Sox baseball as well. Right now, we'll start talking all things All-Star Game. Curious as to what you guys think of the game so far this year. It's the first year it hasn't counted in a while. And I know that everyone hated the fact that it counted and everybody thought it was dumb. I actually like that it meant something. I thought there were other things they could have tweaked and still had it count. Like, for example, don't make it so everyone has a representative. Who cares? Top 15 guys, make it. No matter who you play for. Let the managers who are in first place at the All-Star break manage the team. Make it count. Play it like it counts. Don't worry about getting everyone in the game. Stuff like that. But I was not in the majority with that. So now it's back to not counting. And I don't know. I've seen people say on Twitter tonight that they're really into this game. I'm not into it at all. You know, players are out there taking pictures and A-Rod's walking around on the field. And it doesn't matter. It's no big deal. But it's kind of hard to take it seriously. I feel like at this point, the home run derby is kind of a bigger deal than the game. What do you think? 312-644-6767. Going to talk to Jesse Spector in just a little bit about the All-Star Game, about the changes, about some of the stuff that has been different this year, about the way the coverage has gone down, and we'll also talk with him about some national baseball stuff. Going to talk a little bit about the Cubs as well, or talk quite a bit about the Cubs, actually. I've been thinking about the Cubs for the past couple days, and I've been trying to write a piece on them, and maybe you guys can sort of help me work this out in my brain. I've been thinking a lot about the shuffling lineups and the constantly changing lineups that Joe Maddon has used this year. And on the one hand, it seems like such a silly small thing to worry about that, you know, where you hit in the lineup every day. And I think for the most part, I don't know that it matters where you hit in the lineup each day. I think it matters whether you know if you're in the lineup each day. And so I was thinking about the Cubs, and I was thinking about the fact that, you know, there are only so many reasons that you can have so many guys on the team slump all at the same time. You know, you can either be, number one, that this is the, you know, World Series hangover to end all World Series hangover. And 538 did a really interesting piece on that, which we'll talk about. And the other one is that there's something else going on that is, you know, causing this. And I guess number three is that it's just a huge coincidence that everyone is terrible at the same time. So I'm just wondering if this constant flipping of the lineup and not knowing, I'm not talking about for guys like Bryant and Rizzo who are out there every day, but for guys like Ben Zobrist, for guys like Albert Almora, for guys like Javi Baez, I wonder how much it matters. And I've heard so many baseball players talk about how much it means to them to have a consistent routine. I get to the ballpark at this time. I do batting practice from this time to this time. I do strength training from this time to this time. I ride a bike from this time to this time. This time the game starts. I go out, you know, and I just wonder how much of that is disrupted mentally when you don't know necessarily if you're going to be in the lineup that day or not. 312-644-6767 if you want to jump in the conversation, or you can shoot me a text at 670-11. This hour is brought to you by Riverfront Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in the North Aurora Auto Mall. 773 texter says, could you please elaborate on the rumors of Schwarber going to Detroit? Well, here's what I have to say about Kyle Schwarber, and we'll talk with Brett Taylor about this later on. So there were some articles coming out. There were a couple different pieces that came out this week that everyone was talking about, actually just in the last couple days. One said that the Cubs have talked to almost every team in search of starting pitching, including asking the Tigers about Michael Fulmer and Daniel Norris. And I believe this is from the Detroit Free Press's Anthony Fenwick, but I'm not 100% sure. It would take a lot for Detroit to consider moving Fulmer. So I think that is where Schwarber's name came up. Then there was another piece that came out, and this one is from Ken Rosenthal. And by the way, if you're a regular listener, you know how aggravated I was by the idea of Fox switching to all video instead of writing. So I'm on MLB Trade Rumors today. I see that there's a story by Ken Rosenthal about the Cubs possibly trading a young position player. So I go over to Fox to read the Ken Rosenthal piece. Guess what? It's a video. Thank God for MLBTradeRumors.com, who basically went through it and said this is what he says in the video, because otherwise I would have probably just not sat there and watched it. Anyway, so Ken Rosenthal says this is what MLBTradeRumors.com says about it. Because the reigning World Series champion Cubs have been mired in mediocrity all season, club officials have considered trading a young position player to jumpstart the team, according to Rosenthal. Such a move would presumably land the Cubs a sorely needed controllable starting pitcher. The problem, Rosenthal points out, is that Chicago doesn't have any obvious trade candidates among those position players. First baseman Anthony Rizzo and third baseman Chris Bryant obviously aren't going anywhere. Meanwhile, catcher Wilson Contreras and rookie outfielder slash second baseman Ian Happ have also been key cogs. And per Rosenthal, the Cubs remain bullish on struggling left fielder Kyle Schwarber. Turning to the middle infield, Major League Baseball is looking into domestic violence allegations against shortstop Addison Russell, which doesn't do his trade value any favors. And Rosenthal indicates that Javier Baez's versatility makes him too important to deal. The piece goes on, and this is maybe a separate piece, goes on to talk about the Cubs asking about Justin Verlander and Alex Avila. Here's the thing. The Cubs, the Verlander thing, I think, is dead, and here's why. The Cubs asked about Verlander, according to my source, but I think them asking about Verlander was conditioned on the fact that they thought they could get Verlander without giving up much if they took on more of his salary. What Detroit wants is someone to take on the majority of his salary and give up prospects, and the Cubs are not willing to do that. So I would say that Detroit is probably pretty much that idea, that Verlander idea. I think we can probably stop worrying about that one right now. I think the Cubs, when it comes to Kyle Schwarber, I don't think they are anywhere close to feeling like they'll give up on Kyle Schwarber. Definitely not this year. You know, I think that if you're going to trade Schwarber, the time to do it was last year when his value was sky high after his performance in the World Series, when he had that magical run. And he did. He looked like Babe Ruth. You know, that legendary scouting report the Cubs got on Schwarber where someone referred to him as Babe effing Ruth. And that sort of stuck with his description of Kyle for, you know, his scouting report for all this time. I don't think they're ready to move him. I don't think they're even close to being ready to move Schwarber. So, you know, who's on the block? Probably Albert Elmora. Probably Eloy Jimenez. Probably Ian Happ. And there isn't a ton else I think they could really get a big return for. John Jay maybe is a rental. I don't know what his contract status is. He's played well. He could fit in a piece somewhere. But I guess the other question is, how hard in do you go this year? Do you make changes this year? Obviously, they need a starting pitcher, not just for this year, but going forward, especially because Arrieta and Lackey are almost 100% gone at the end of the season. But the question is, you know, do you do that this year? Do you feel pressure to do it this year when the whole rest of the team stinks and is playing the way they're playing? We'll talk with Brett Taylor about that a little bit later. 312-644-6767 or 670-11 if you want to jump in the conversation. 708 texter says, why is everyone up in arms about how the All-Star game doesn't matter anymore when just a year ago everyone was angry about it meaning something? That's a good question. You know, I think that I wonder that a lot of people hated the fact that it mattered because they felt like it was so arbitrary based on, you know, because it mattered, but it was never treated like it mattered. That was the problem. You had all these managers trying to get everyone in there. You had all these players who didn't really care. You had, you know, guys managing the team who maybe didn't have a stake in it. But now that it doesn't matter again, it kind of feels, oh, yeah, this doesn't really count anymore. I don't know. I wonder if people are having let down. If you're one of the people who was upset that it mattered, I'd love to hear from you. 312-644-6767 and see how you feel about it now that it doesn't matter, if you're as interested in it or if you're watching it this year. I know a lot of people just say, I never watch it. I just feel like at this point, the Home Run Derby is much more interesting than the actual game. Hey, 773 texter, I love that you're sending me all these texts and contributing to the conversations, but my name is Julie, not Julia. Anyway, would you see Hap being shopped because he hasn't been fully exposed yet? Yeah, probably. I'm sure Hap is being shopped. I think that he's sort of been groomed with the idea that there was really nowhere for him to play and that he would be a piece to bring something back. Unfortunately, he sort of forced their hand a little bit with playing time. And now, with everyone else playing so poorly, he seems like a guy you can't give up. It's a big problem. Need legal advice by a reputable attorney? Send questions you want answered to cbschicago.com/legal advice and look online for free Legal Fridays with Horowitz, Horowitz and Associates. That's cbschicago.com/legal advice. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk with Jesse Spector about the All-Star Game. You're listening to The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Welcome back to 670 The Score. I'm Julie DeCaro. I'll be here until midnight tonight. We're going to do mostly baseball tonight, watching the All-Star Game as it unfolds. Right now, we're going to go on out to the Grossinger Auto Group hotline. Find over 5,000 vehicles every day at grossinger.com. That is where we find Jesse Spector, national columnist at FanRag Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Jesse Spector, and he's one of my absolute favorite Twitter followers. Twitter follows. How you doing, Jesse?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. So sorry to drag you away from the All-Star Game at this point. How long do you think, now that we're in the first year of this not mattering again, how long do they let this game go if it stays tied up?
I think until they run out of pitchers. I'm not sure exactly where they're at with that right now. I know that Wade Davis is coming in, so, got some interest there, Chicago-wise, but finally a Cub in this game.
Yeah, right? We're not all that interested, to be honest. So let me ask you this. So now that the game is back to not mattering, do you find yourself less invested in it, or is your viewership pretty much the same?
It's exactly the same. I never cared that it mattered even a little bit. Like, it was such a silly thing. Like, for forever, growing up, the All-Star Game meant nothing. And World Series home field advantage was decided by, what year it was, which league was going to get home field. It was even one league and odd the other league. And, who cared? And it's a silly thing. And, you go now to the way that makes sense, which is home field goes to the team with the best record and leave the All-Star Game out of it. And it's more fun this way because you don't have to have this facade of pretending that it matters, because all those years that they were doing, this one counts. This one counts. It counts so much that we're going to take all the very best players in baseball out after four innings. And, we'll go to the second tier guys. So,
well,
great.
That's what
so
I always
can still do that.
That's what I always thought was so mixed up about it, was that it mattered, but oh boy. Well, there's the home run for off Wade Davis, which makes sense given what we've seen. Well, actually not from Wade Davis, but from a Cub in general. It makes sense that there'd be a home run.
I'm on a bit of a delay, and I'm at least a pitch behind. I'm going to have to talk to somebody about this delay on my system.
Well, I'm in the studio, so I've got the super souped-up TV in here. So I thought one of the problems, though, was that it was treated like they pretended it mattered, but they didn't treat it like it mattered, right? So they didn't change any of the rules when it mattered. So it was still everybody gets a representative, and you had coaches in there who really didn't care, who were managing the lineup and stuff like that. So to me, there was like a real disconnect. But I did like it mattering.
I guess that was something, but you're right. It was full of guys who didn't care and just had to put up this pretend sheen of caring. And these guys still care. Like, they want to do well on a big stage on national TV in front of the whole world, and family and friends and everybody else. And you're testing yourself against the best. And I think that really for most everybody involved, that's enough. Like, Robinson Cano just homered off Wade Davis. What do either of them care about home field in the World Series this year? And the Cubs went on the road last year in Game 7 and won it in Cleveland, and the Mariners are going absolutely nowhere. So who cares? What does it matter?
All right, so the TV, well, it's pretty clear that nobody cares this year because we've got, guys taking pictures at the plate with Joe West, which I don't know why you would want that, but anyway. And then, the coverage has been kind of weird with A-Rod, walking around the infield. And then a couple times they came back and they had missed the first batter of the inning and stuff. So it seems like they still have some kinks to work out.
Let's be fair about missing, you know, a batter in an inning coming back from commercial break. That's just how Fox covers baseball. That's nothing unusual for them. They've had the TV package for 20 years and they still can't seem to figure out exactly when to get back from commercial break for the first pitch of an inning. And yet you will never miss a down of an NFL game on Fox.
Yeah, it's really kind of funny. And then what was the? I was watching in the studio with the volume turned all the way down. What was A-Rod doing walking around on the field in between innings? It was crazy.
Apparently, he was interviewing players. That was the portion of the game when I was taking care of kids' bedtime and doing some laundry early in the game before I really settled into it. So I was just reading that on Twitter that A-Rod was walking around and.
Like in a suit with dress shoes on, and like the players are all at their positions, and he's just like, "Hey, how you doing?"
Yeah, good to see you. Who doesn't like to see A-Rod at this, you know, time and date and juncture in this stage of his career? He's become, you know, sort of Uncle Baseball to everybody. He's wandering around taking photo shoots in Paris with J-Lo. It's an entirely entertaining, you know, dimension of A-Rod that we've seen, and he seems comfortable in his own skin now, which is something that he never really was until after the year-long suspension. He came back and gave approximately zero F's about, you know, what anybody thought anymore. He felt free to kind of do his own thing, and that was when enjoyable A-Rod finally became a thing, and that's continued into his broadcasting career. Sure, let him walk around the field. There's nobody that knows more about baseball than that guy, and he's entertaining and engaging, and let him do it. You know, have some fun with him. See what you can do, and see what actually he can bring to the table and make things a little more interesting and different.
Yeah, who would have thought two of the best analysts for this generation of baseball players would be Pedro Martinez and A-Rod? Like, I never saw that coming. So I wanted to ask you, I was perusing your timeline earlier on Twitter, and I saw a piece about the Brewers being actually good this year, which is of interest to Cub fans, because for most of the season, we've been waiting for the Brewers to sort of come back to the pack, especially since no one was separating themselves. You know, everyone was just kind of, you know, lurking around 500. But they seem like they maybe are better than we all gave them credit for.
I think they are, and they've kind of found themselves. It's funny, you know, you're waiting for them to come back to the pack and the Cubs to take off. It's kind of been the opposite, where the Brewers have sort of found themselves. They were just sort of hovering around 500. I was, you know, looking through their season schedule and like, where did things go right for them? And the only time that they've really been like legit hot is these last two or three weeks leading up to the All-Star game. You know, 17-9, you know, in the last 26, and then 7-2, including that win over the Cubs, which meant a lot to them. That game at Wrigley that they had to come back for, you know, last Thursday, because of the fake rainout that the Cubs had back in May. The Brewers did not forget that, and they were still pretty fired up about it and said, yeah, that did mean more to us to go there, you know, to have to give up an off day before a road trip, get into Yankee Stadium and get into New York, you know, late the next day, and then have to play again and mess things up for them that way. They were steamed about that, and it was important to them to get that win, and that was the win that, you know, clinched them first place for the first half of the season, which is completely meaningless, except that it does give them that mental edge of, you know, now they're up by 5.5 games, and they can legitimately think to themselves, yeah, we can do this thing, especially with, you know, the young team that they have. They've got a lot of young, talented players, and the opportunity at the trade deadline to really make a play, especially given that the top pitchers available on the trade market are Sonny Gray and Jose Quintana, guys who have, you know, years of team control remaining and fit well into you know, a sort of longer-term plan that the Brewers have, because this is just, they're basically like a year or two ahead of schedule as far as opening their window of contention, and the Cubs having a lousy first half certainly plays into that and has opened the door for them to do what they're doing. But the door is open, and they seem like they're ready to walk right through it, and the young players, you know, get better and grow more confident each day. Eric Thames was, you know, a tremendous signing that has worked out just fantastically well for them. It's not too often that you can DFA a guy that hit 41 home runs for you. It certainly looks like a genius move because Chris Carter's now been DFA'd twice by the Yankees and released by the Yankees. That's worked out just great for the Brewers that they bring in Eric Hames to play first base. And, you know, Jesus Aguilar's been pretty good there as well. It's really impressive what the Brewers have done. And, yeah, I think they are for real. And more importantly, they think they are in a way that it's not just, we're playing really well right now. They feel like they haven't even... And this is something Jimmy Nelson said. They feel like they've only really just started to scratch the surface of what it is that they can do. And you look and you see, they're 3-7 in extra inning games. They've got this 10-game stretch coming out of the All-Star break where they play the Phillies 6 times and the Pirates 4 times. They could open up something here. And that's before they get to a 6-game stretch against the Nationals and Cubs to, close out July. That could be a series, Cubs Brewers at the end of July. That could be the Brewers sort of putting their stamp on this division if things continue the way they have been.
Well, let me ask you this before I have to let you go. From the standpoint, because I feel like in Chicago we're really close to it. From the standpoint of the national media, what is wrong with the Cubs? And do people just kind of figure this is who they are this year, or are people still waiting for them to sort of snap out of this and make a run?
I can't speak for the national media entirely. I would be on the side of waiting for them to make a run because they have it in them. It's not like they don't still have Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant and everybody else. They've got the core of the team together. Sometimes it just doesn't happen for you in a given year, and you have, it's just a 2 steps forward, 1 step back kind of year. For the Cubs, it's really been sort of 1 step forward, 1 step back most of the year. I thought they were getting it together the way that they played the Mets, and it just kind of turned out that, that was – the Mets in the middle of their free fall and sort of their last gasp of anything. But it's still a real good Cubs team. I don't think that the answers aren't there for them to get this together, and the talent is there. But sometimes, the line between winning 81 games and winning 91 games is pretty small. And it's, games here and games there. It's one lousy game a week where things just don't break your way. And that's just how tight baseball is sometimes. I think the Cubs do have the talent. But we've also seen, 3 rounds of playoffs takes a toll. And we haven't seen anybody repeat since, those three Yankee teams, 98, 99, 2000. The Royals came close when you look at it in 14 and 15. They went to Game 7 against the Giants and then won it the next year. They did that with incredible health and health that you would not have thought would be possible to achieve in back-to-back years. Having that, it's pretty difficult. And you look at the Cubs and you look at, John Lackey's dealing with stuff. There's other guys dealing with injuries. There's been personal issues and off the field stuff that's been, I don't know how much of a toll that's taken, but it's certainly stuff that's in the mix of making your season overall worse. And I don't want to read too much into that, but it all does just kind of chip away at what it is that you're trying to do and just kind of make your season go wrong. And that's baseball. And I think that if the Cubs pull off one of these, 16-4 runs, would anybody really be surprised? No. But at this point of the season, you see where they're at the All-Star break. If the Cubs miss the playoffs, that's not too much of a surprise anymore either. It would have been a surprise at the beginning of the season to say that. But when you see the way this team has struggled for 80-plus, almost 90 games, you can see how that happens.
All right, on that depressing note, Jesse, unfortunately, I'm going to have to let you go. Wow. All right, thanks for stopping by tonight and cheering me up, Jesse Spector.
Anytime.
I'll get you back to the All-Star game. He's a national columnist at FanRag Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Jesse Spector. Thanks for your time tonight.
Thank you.
Welcome back to 670 The Score. Julie DeCaro with you until midnight tonight. All-Star game looks like it's just about to wrap up. The AL's up 2-1 with 2 outs in the bottom of the 10th. Joey Votto at the plate. Things not going the National League's way tonight, although it was a pretty close game. I just am not interested when there's nothing at stake. I care about the home run derby. That's fun, especially the way the pitching is handled. You know, everybody pitches one inning, and then Carlos Martinez inexplicably posts two, and Pat Neshek comes in the second inning. The whole thing is just, I don't know. It's just not as interesting to me as it was before. Talking some All-Star stuff, also some Cubs baseball, 312-644-6767. There's some good news for Cub fans. Well, first of all, let's talk about this Rob Arthur piece at 537, where he talks about the fact that the Cubs have one of the worst championship hangovers ever. If you look, there's a graph in here called The Cubs Decline is Historic. And when you look at the graph, it goes by run differential. And so the Cubs are sixth in worst Cubs differential and worst runs differential after following a World Series. So they 252 runs in 2016. This year they're projected to come up at 227, so 25 fewer runs. There's teams in here like the 1909 Pittsburgh Pirates, the 1948 Cleveland Indians, the 1917 Chicago White Sox. So this is a historically bad follow-up to a World Series season. Seven of the teams on the list played before 1950. In the current era, the Cubs drop-off is the third worst, trailing only the 2013 Red Sox and the infamous fire sale 1997 Marlins. Chicago had more room to fall than most champs. Only 19 World Series winners matched the Cubs' 2016 252 run differential, but that just makes their current mediocrity stand out all the more starkly. It has not been a good start to the Cubs this year. Obviously, that's understating it, but things could get better in the second half of the season. There's a piece over at FanGraphs by Jeff Sullivan that's a projected second-half schedule strength. And the Cubs have the third most advantageous schedule in the National League behind the Dodgers and Miami in the second half of the season. So there's reason for optimism. We've got a final on the All-Star game. 2-1, American League wins the game. 312-644-6767 if you want to jump in the conversation. I know that Joe Maddon has been someone... We have to take a break, Shane. All right. Joe Maddon has been someone who's been drawing a lot of ire, both on the text line from callers and on Twitter. And one of the questions I wanted to ask you guys is if you think Joe Maddon is a better fit for a team that is needs someone to sort of take the spotlight off them and help them relax than he is to sort of fire up a team. And I'm not really sure if firing up is what they need. Obviously, you know, Theo Epstein said the other day that, you know, getting angry doesn't really help anything in baseball. And I think he's right about that. But they're definitely missing something. There's definitely times when they don't look like they want to be there. There are some inexplicable at-bats that are just, you know, sort of go up, take your hacks, look like you want to go home that we've never seen from this team before. So we'll talk about that when we come back. 312-644-6767 if you want to jump in the conversation, or 670-11 if you want to send a text. You're listening to The Score. Welcome back to 670 The Score. Julie DeCaro here until midnight tonight. The All-Star game is in the books. First time it hasn't counted for several years. The American League gets the win 2-1. I don't know if there's a ton to talk about in this All-Star game. Obviously, some of the coverage had kind of funny stuff in it. The game itself wasn't that exciting. I think the home run derby is probably at this point way more exciting than the game is. I'm curious to see what the viewership is going to be for this one, because I bet it gets beat by the home run derby. Anyway, we are talking Cubs baseball a little bit later on. Brett Taylor will be here at 11:20 to talk with us and tell us what he thinks about the first half of the season and what he's looking forward to going forward this year. One of the things that I wanted to talk with you guys about, and we talked about this a bit before the break, is, you know, I heard Dan Bernstein saying earlier today over and over that this is the time you got Joe Maddon for. This is the time that he's supposed to be the manager for. For time when things are going tough, Joe Maddon, there's a reason why he's so highly sought after in his relationship with the players. And this is one of those times when you need to see the reason you hired Joe Maddon. But I'm curious, given on what we've seen of Joe in Chicago and the way that he handled the team last year when they were under so much pressure after 2015, everyone knew it was the year. There's something felt right about it from the beginning. And I wonder if Joe is better in that situation of sort of bringing in the magician and the petting zoos and all that kind of stuff to keep a young team loose and relaxed. I wonder if he's the right guy to fire up a veteran team that is a little bit more, that looks tired. looks maybe like they don't always want to be there. I'm no way suggesting that Joe Maddon should not be the coach of this team, but I am wondering if his skill sets are better in some places than others. 312-644-6767 if you want to weigh in. 773 texter says, my observation is the Cubs look tired. I know they do their work, but I'm not seeing that intensity of the past two seasons. I think that's exactly right. There's something missing this year. It's been attributed to losing Dexter Fowler and David Ross as leaders. It's been attributed to the World Series hangover. It's been possibly attributed to the ever-changing lineups. I don't know that anyone could really put their finger on it. And if it is a hangover from the 2016 season, I don't know that 4 days of rest does what you need. I'm not really sure that if it's this kind of deep tiredness from not having the long off season like they're used to, I don't know that 4 days of rest over the All-Star break makes that big of a difference. Wondering what you guys think. Do you think Joe Maddon is as good at firing up teams as he is as relaxing teams and keeping them loose? 312-644-6767. A couple of things that I wanted to look at as well. Looking at the Cubs batting stats from 2017 and 2016, you know, the drop-off is amazing. And we just talked about the 538 article about this historic slump looking at run differential. But just looking at offensive war from the offensive war for this season is zero straight down the board. Last year, it was 6.6 Chris Bryant, 4.6 from Anthony Rizzo, 4.1 from Dexter Fowler, 4.2 from Ben Zobrist. It just went on and on and on. And this year, it's just everything is flat. And I don't know how to account for an entire team deciding to slump all at the same time. 312-644-6767. If you want to weigh in, or you can shoot me a text at 670-11. You can also get me on Twitter at Julie DeCaro. I've reached out to some people over there as well to see what they think. I'd love to hear your thoughts. There was a really, really funny piece. Well, it's not intentionally funny, but a funny piece over in 538 by Neil Payne talking about the all-time leaders in undeserved all-star appearances. What they looked at was how many times you were voted in as a starter versus your war, how many times you led the league at your position in war, and then what the difference was. So they did the most overrated all-star players of all time and the most underrated. So it's kind of an interesting way to do it. Cal Ripken Jr. was voted as a starter 17 times. He led his position in war 9 times. So that's by their thinking, 8 times he went to the All-Star game, what wasn't warranted. The second on that list is Dave Winfield. Third is Ivan Rodriguez with 5. He was voted as a starter 12 times. He led his position in war 7 times. So his differential was 5. George Brett comes in at number 4. Rod Carew, Steve Garvey, Pete Rose, Manny Ramirez, Derek Jeter, Mike Piazza, Ichiro Suzuki, Tony Gwynn, Reggie Jackson, Sandy Alomar, Vlad Guerrero, Roberto Alomar, Josh Hamilton, Jose Bautista, Robinson Cano. Now we're down at a 3 difference in war. Yadier Molina, Wade Boggs, Joe Carter, Andre Dawson, Greg Luzinski, Mark McGwire, Kirby Puckett, Ryan Sandberg, and Ozzie Smith. Kind of a funny list. They also did the people who should have gone, who were voted too few times to the All-Star game. Keith Hernandez, number 1. He was only voted as a starter 1 time. He led his position in war 8 times over the course of his career. Jeff Bagwell, voted as a starter once, led his position at war 6 times. Robin Ventura, never voted in as a starter, led his position at war for 5 years. Barry Bonds, 11 times he was voted in as a starter, 15 years he led his position. He led his position in war. Next on the list, Ian Kinsler, Andrew Jones, Chuck Knobloch, Bernie Williams, Matt Holliday, Grady Sizemore, never voted in as a starter, Andrew McCutchen, Jesse Barfield, Chris Hoyles, Eddie Murray, Lance Parrish, Mike Schmidt, voted as a starter 7 times, led his position at war 10 times. Tim Wallach, never voted in as a starter. Devon White, never voted in as a starter. And bringing up the bottom is Robin Yount, voted as a starter twice, but he led his position in war 5 times. Kind of a funny list. 312-644-6767. 630 texter says maybe the league's pitchers figured out how to counteract the team's hitting philosophy. That would account for the whole team's slump. 779 texter says, I think the Cubs look at it as no big deal. We already won the World Series. The Hawks did the same thing. They won the Stanley Cup. So it's no big deal anymore. I'm not sure that that's true. I think it's a very big deal to this team. I think that this team came in to this season looking to establish themselves as a dynasty, not just as a one-off World Series winner. I mean, nobody wants to go 108 years, then win a World Series, then sort of fall back into mediocrity. So that I'm not sure about that. 773 texter says, Joe lets players set their own rules and police themselves. He's not the guy to call them lollygaggers. He lets players do their job and be themselves. I think that's true. I think the problem, though, this year is that we're seeing a marked drop-off in defense, a huge drop-off in defense. And I don't know. We're seeing a lot of boneheaded moves from some Addison Russell. And a lot of that can maybe be attributed to his off-the-field issues this year, but there's a lot of bad defense going on out there. We've seen Kyle Schwarber make some bad plays, seen Ian Happ make some boneheaded decisions, and I wonder if it wouldn't benefit this team a little bit more to get back to the fundamentals. I don't know who's doing what. We keep hearing how hard all these guys are working all the time, but it doesn't appear to be reflected, at least in the way they play defense. 773 texters says, Julie, you're too wishy-washy. You play it too close to the vest. Have your conviction in your voice, be controversial. All right. What do you want me to be controversial about? 312-644-6767. If you want to join in the conversation, we're going to take a break when we come back. We'll do a scoreboard update, and then we'll be taking your calls and texts ahead of Brett Taylor from Cubs Nation, or excuse me, from Bleacher Nation, stopping by to talk with us. You're listening to The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.